Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus is our victor over fear. Amen. Jesus is our victor over fear. And once again, I want to thank and praise God for Evangelist Felipe Reles, who is here with us in our living room this morning, and Bishop Mandapali, Yehoshua, hallelujah. I don't know how long he's going to be here, but I promised him this, that when we go back to our regular services back at our church houses, that I would have him come back, and also Evangelist Felipe Reles to bring a word. Amen. So, if you're at home right now, open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, and let's read together these verses 17 through 19. I have the Word of God here on the screen for you if you don't have your Bibles on your laps right now. Amen. And it reads, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So, right up here on the screen, saints of God, sometimes we believe that God is leading us in a certain direction. But as we continue down that path, we become discouraged and uncertain because it's not working out as we expected. Saints of God, no one expected this coronavirus to take place. But I'm here to let us know that God is leading us to this path to do a work in our life, that he would strengthen us, that he would teach us, that he would sow into us a deeper relationship with him. Many Christians that I know, good friends and just acquaintances, they jeopardized their Sabbath day and involved their kids in sports and neglected the things of God. But God is now bringing us all back into our homes, and he's doing a reset button on us. He's resetting things in our life. He wants to get our priorities right before him. Why? Because Jesus is soon to come. Hallelujah. The king is coming. How many believe the king is coming? Yeah. Come on, somebody got to say amen, because the king is coming. Yeah. Hallelujah, he's coming soon. And maybe it isn't as easy as we thought it would be, saints, or isn't leading where we want to go. I didn't want to go to this path. I mean, praise God, we were able to preach out of our home. But I'd rather be in the church house. Many of you do too. But this is what God has led us to now. And this is where we have to take advantage of this time. This time to sow into our lives together. Can I get an amen? Amen. Therefore, we decide to make a course correction, thinking that we have obviously gone the wrong way. No, we haven't gone the wrong way. God is leading us. I hope you know that. Yet once we start this new path, we soon discover that we've made a terrible mistake. And that's what has happened prior to the corona thing. Many has taken a wrong path. But God is now redirecting us. Can I get an amen? I love how God is doing. You know what? This is good for me. I don't know about you, but this is good for me. I need things in my life corrected. Can I get an amen? Because sometimes I do drift. Sometimes I do stray. And all of us have that tendency to do that. But God has a way to get our attention, praise God. And one of the reasons we change routes and disobey God is because our faith gives away to fear. So let's look at what King David wrote here in Psalms. He wrote, in Psalms 33, 8 through 12. Let all the earth fear the Lord. If there is anything to fear, is fear the Lord. Now, it's not that we are to be frightened by him. The fear of the Lord means to have reverence for him, that he is God and we are not. Can I get amen? Amen. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Look at the majesty. Look what he has created. Look at the stars and the moons, the atmosphere, the trees, the water, the food that he has given us, shelter, clothing on our back. I am in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to what? Nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. See, a lot of us had our own plans. We were doing our own thing. He said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I need you to come back to me. I have something to teach you and share with you. I have something to build you up right now. Hallelujah. Why? Why? Because in verse 11, because the counsel of the Lord stands forever. There are times where we need to sit still and allow him to counsel us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Why? Because the plans of his heart is to all generations, and blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen and his own inheritance. Oh, my goodness. When you understand that he has given us an inheritance, Lord have mercy. Now listen, we're gonna go into a story right now. I'm gonna take you back in the book of Genesis. Now, this is a story of Abraham and his wife Sarah. At that time it was Abram and Sarai, but I'm just gonna call them Abraham and Sarah. But a famine took place. And right now there's a coronavirus that has taken place. And so when the famine took place, you got to remember when God told him to leave his town, his city, he didn't leave in fear. He left in faith. But now a famine has come, and now he has forgotten one thing, the God who would supply all of his needs. So fear crippled him. So he said, hey, we need to go down to Egypt. So he went down to Egypt, and he took his beautiful wife with him. And we're going to see how this plays out, how he tried to connive his way. He tried to lie and he tried to cover. And he was thinking, well, I'm going to have to say that she's my sister and not my wife. Why? Because he thought that Pharaoh may want to take his wife. So let's see how this all plays out, because this was a course that was not a plan of God. It was the plan of man. So when you look at the plan of man, you'll see now the errors of their way. So are we ready? Let's go to Genesis right up here. Genesis 12, 10. And the Bible reads, now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there. For the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to his wife, Sarah, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. So she was a knockout. I mean, she was beautiful. And he probably boasted her around. But look what it says in verse 12. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is my wife. And they will what? Kill me. But they will let you live. See, he's thinking all these things in his mind that this is how it's going to play out. Well, first of all, he didn't need to go down to Egypt, but his fear was driving him there. My goodness. So now he's playing out all these things in his mind. Well, this and that. And how many times do we do that? How many times do we try to figure out things in our life and not consult with the Lord? Because he didn't consult with the Lord on this one. He just went because he was fearful. So let's look at this. So this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you're my sister. Abraham, you're lying? Let him be well with me for your sake, that I may live because of you. So all of a sudden, it was all about him. Did you catch that? So that because that I may live because of you. Okay, let's look at verse 14. So it was when Abraham came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman. that she was very beautiful. Once again, if it's mentioned several times of her beauty, she was beautiful. She was like, wow. It was like for a brother, like, I can't look there no more. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. Oh, come on. She was beautiful. And the princes of the Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Uh-oh. So now, everything that he was planning out, right here and there as we're reading, the error of his way is about to be unfolded. Now look at this. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, donkeys, male, female servants, female donkeys, and cows. So he brought all kinds of gifts with him. Now, look at verse 17 here. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Let me just say this. If you are called by God, anointed by God, and you choose to go in the error of your way, God will somehow still, by his grace and his mercy, save your bacon. Oh, yes, he will. He will just fly over our stupidity to save us from terror, from horror, from danger, from having our lives extinguished. But look how this plays out here. And so the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his wife with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Oh man, now he's calling him on the carpet. He's confronting him now with truth. You need to tell me the truth. She's your wife, right? Why didn't you tell me?
Right.
You see, one of the things that the heathen nations at the time knew about the Israelites, that they had a God that was terrible, that they would conquer the nations. And so now he comes in here conniving them because of the famine. And God had to send a plague. And this Pharaoh discerned this. And so look how he addresses this. And then in verse 19, why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Whoa. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him and sent him away with his wife and all that he had. My, my, my. You talking about, you? Listen, this is continual deliverance of God for his people. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Even in our ignorance, God will come in and rescue us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So saints, Abraham, originally called Abram, is an example of someone whose faith gave way to fear. When the Lord first spoke to him, he gave him clear instructions and unconditional promises, saying, and this is what God told him. Let's look at Genesis 12. But he lost focus of this. God spoke to him many times. But look what it says here in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make a great nation and I will bless you. Let me just pause right there. He says, I will bless you. Now, a famine hit the land. And he thought the blessings had lifted. Now we're on our own. And so this is why he journeyed down to Egypt. But God told him, listen, saints of God, if God has given you a promise, you need to hold on to it. Can I get amen? Amen. If he has promised you salvation, he will keep it. If he promised your household to be saved, he will come through for it. If he said, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, you got to believe it.
Yes.
Well, he says this, I will make you and bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. So here he is in a famine thinking, how can I be a blessing? And there's nothing coming in. Mm-hmm. Well, God is trying to teach him to pour out of yourselves and die to self and watch God do the supernatural in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God sealed this promise to him. But yet, he had that moment. He had a lapse in time, and fear set in. So saints, in faith and obedience, Abraham left his home and traveled to Canaan. And after arriving, he built altars to worship the Lord, and he pitched a tent there. Look what it says here in Genesis 12 and 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your descendants, I will give you this land." These are God's promises. I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord. And so there was a dialogue going on. There was confirmation. Okay, Lord, I'm going to receive your promise. I'm going to worship you now. And so he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and on Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My question to you, friends, is have you been calling on the name of the Lord during this COVID-19?
Right.
Or are you just looking at the news? Or are you looking for a stimulus package? Are you looking, when is that check coming? But are you looking for the Lord, hallelujah, to comfort you, to bless you, to supply all of your needs? It is Jesus, hallelujah, that our focus needs to be on. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so saints, but before long, a situation arose and caused them to doubt the Lord. Things will rise up in your life that'll cause you to doubt the Lord. Why? Because we still live in this human body that still is very sinful. But let me just say this, when you feel torn, when you feel depleted, when you feel drawn to a different way, that's a sign to you that you need to stop that in the tracks and call upon the name of the Lord. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So look, in Genesis 12:10, let's go to verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So my question is, what is too hard for God? What's too hard for God?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Listen, if he fed the Israelites with manna from heaven, and he even brought some quail in, hallelujah, to give them some Kentucky Fried Chicken in the desert. What's too hard for God? What's too hard for God? Well, look at this. Faith gives way to fear because our focus moves from God to our circumstances. So when the circumstances shift in your life, all of a sudden your mindset shifts too. Instead of focusing on the Lord, you focus on the circumstance. And God is saying, nah, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. You see, saints, Abraham had kept his eyes on the Lord throughout his whole journey. And he had obediently settled in the land and worshiped him, thanking him for the protection and provision until the famine came. But now his survival looked doubtful. And what Abraham saw as unexpected and frightening, God viewed it as an opportunity for Abraham and for you and I to trust the Lord. Can I get a? This is a great opportunity right now, saints of God, to trust the Lord. And so instead of looking around him, Abraham should have been remembered of God's promises and relied on him to keep his word. God would have brought food to him if only he would have just got on his knees and said, God, you're the God of the Lord God Almighty. He couldn't say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because Jacob and Isaac didn't come yet. But he could have said, you're the God that I heard in the wilderness. Thank you, God. And so changing circumstances, saints of God, are no reason to stop trusting the Lord God. Now, if you truly believe that God has heard our cries, that God is with you, if you truly believe that God will never leave us nor forsake us, if you truly believe that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, well, then you can take heed to what King David wrote thousands of years ago. And it's found here. Look at this in Psalms 91. It says, he, say that with me, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Listen, when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has covered you. He has washed you in the blood. Hallelujah. And we are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look at this. I will say of the Lord, he is my what? Refuge and my fortress. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him, say that with me, in him will I trust. Don't trust in the government. You may not even see that stimulus check. Oh, come on. Trust in the Lord. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Trust in the Lord that he will lift this COVID-19, this plague. And once again, all it is a plague that Jesus said we would see before his return. Did you know that Jesus is coming again?
Oh, yes, he is.
Huh? He's coming again.
Yes.
And so this is the time that we need to be ready. Fasten your seatbelts. Hallelujah. Come on. Because when he comes, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air.
Glory to God.
Thank you, God. Look at this. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous, what? Pestilence. That's what this is. It's a pestilence. And anything too hard for God? No. Look what he does, though, in verse 4. He says, he shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Hallelujah. The truth of his word, hallelujah, will cover you, will shield you. When God looks down, he says, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my child, and I have covered them by the blood.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, we cannot see God's blood upon us, but he knows who are his. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And you got to believe by faith, we are his. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day. My goodness. This thing creeps at night. It's a creepster. It hides in the shadows. It's in darkness. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We can't even see this thing. And yet, it's a plague around the world. And so, he says, nor the arrow that flies by night, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Verse 7, hallelujah, this is where we can stand. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. And look, when you do read the news, look how many have fallen already to the right and to the left. What do I mean by that? To the east of us, to the west of us, to the north of us, to the south of us. They're falling left and right. But I'm here to let you know that the church of God that's washed in the blood is still standing. Can I get an amen? We're standing. Thank you, Lord. We're standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because his promises are yes and amen to us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Nor the destruction that lays at the waste at the noonday. And 1,000, look at this, may fall at your right hand, but it shall not what come near you. Did you catch that? It won't come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Wow. Oh, my gosh. So, question. Faith gives way to fear when we make decisions based on human reason. You see, we serve a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's right. Because I have word to back that up. Because our thinking sometimes is stinking thinking. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, what does it say that, Pastor? Right up here in Proverbs 14:12. Look at that. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it's what? But its end is the way of death. And so I'd rather believe God. I'd rather believe the promises of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so, saints, Abraham reasoned that the way to survive was to go down to Egypt where there was food. Oh, man, they're serving tacos down there. Man, we need to go get a hold of those. And so he probably considered this trip to Egypt as only temporary, thinking he'd come back to Canaan when conditions improved. There was another trap there, wasn't there? However, as reasonable as his plan seems, saints of God, even a temporary journey away from God's will can have disastrous results. Even if we just, oh God, I'm just going to go here for a moment, it could be disastrous. Look at this. When we forget that God is both our provider and protector, we take matters into our own hands. How many times have you took matters into your own hands? Huh? And you said, well, I got this one, God. I got this. Just stay on your throne. I got it. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Well, this is what Abraham did. He feared the element of his day. He feared the circumstances of his day. And instead of trusting and obeying God, he said, man, let's go, Sarah. We got to go down there and get some food. And they probably have several rolls of toilet paper for us, too.
Watch it, reach out.
And paper towels. So saying Abraham should have dealt with his fear by staying in Canaan. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And seeking God's protection and his provision. The Lord would have been faithful to care for him and fulfill all of his promises to him. You and I, saints of God, we have to make the same, we cannot make that same mistake Abraham made. And what he should have done was what King Solomon wrote. He should have done this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your path. God, I want God to direct my path. I don't want to jump outside of the will of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You know, I don't know how long I can contain myself behind this pulpit because I like to roam. But praise God. One day we'll be roaming again. Amen. I got to trust God. Thank you, Lord. So saints, we look around at this situation and we forget that God is our provider and our protector. And we substitute what he has said in his word with our own plan, reasoning that his way won't work. How many times have we come to that conclusion? You know what, God, I think I got this one. Oh, God, I think I got this one. Well, look what God says about our thoughts. Look and look what he says about his thoughts. Look what Isaiah 59 says, 55 says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Man, we got little pea brain thoughts down here. God is greater.
Yes, he is.
Listen, if stop and think. God created this world, the planets, the solar system. He created this first atmosphere, the first heaven, which we can breathe and exist underneath this first heaven. The second heaven is the universe, the galaxies, the stars, and the moons, and the asteroids, and all these things. And those are trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and forever billions of light years apart from each other. And then God lives in the third heaven above that. And you think that he can't take care of your need? Huh? You think he can't supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory? He spoke everything into existence. He spoke you into existence. Hallelujah. He knew your name before you were conceived in your mother's womb. He already knew you. Hallelujah. God is for you, not against us. Thank you, God. But there are times when we grow weak. And once we start growing weak, then the tendency to rebel sets in place. My goodness. We think we understand we had to change direction. But the only plan that will fail is ours, because the Lord never, what? He never supports disobedience, but works solely to accomplish the will for our lives. That's the God we serve. Now, you remember King Saul, who always rebelled against the Lord. God would speak through his prophet Samuel and say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, and thus saith the Lord God Almighty. And yet Saul had a different plan than God. So then finally, a harsh rebuke had to come from the prophet. Look at this in 1 Samuel 15. Then Samuel said, the Lord has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Look at verse 23, key verse right here. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. My. This is the only place I read in scripture where full on rebellion, it now starts touching the heart of God, especially when he repeatedly warns a person not to go there, get out of there, don't go this way, follow me. And yet they close their ears, they close their eyes, and they close their mouth, and they continue to walk in their ways. So God calls that what? Witchcraft, rebellion. So saints, true obedience is doing what God says. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And when he says, how he says it, and how he does it, any alteration of what he says is disobedience. Can I get amen?
Amen?
The word of God says right up here, if you love me, keep what? Keep my commandments. So saints, when we are tempted to take matters into our own hands, you and I must remember that God has put us in these circumstances so what? So that we can learn to totally depend on him. God wants you and I to lean on him, to embrace him, to follow him, to exalt him, and to magnify him during this time.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's no greater time right now than to worship the King. Let's just take 1 minute right now. Let's just worship the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, we love you, God. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you, God. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of this whole thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And if we disregard his commands, one wrong step will lead to another until we finally have to repent and turn back to him. I don't want to get to that place where I have to fall on my face. How many times have you had fallen on your face? And here he comes with his spiritual spatula to scrape you off the ground after you do a face plant. Lord have mercy. I don't want to go there. I don't need to be there. Because if we continue to trust God, we will never have to be in that situation. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Now, look at this. When we give in to fear, we become willing to sacrifice our most precious possessions in order to gain favor of others. And that's what Abraham was willing to surrender. He was willing to surrender his own wife. His own wife. He put his own wife into danger. And this is why he had a lie and he had a cover up. This is my sister. Well, guess what? We read they still took her into the palace because of her beauty. So right then and there, he was wrong. And now he was probably knocking at the knees. We don't need to put ourselves in those predicaments. Can I get amen? If we're trusting God, we don't have to go to those places and get out of the will of God. So Abraham's first wrong step soon led to another. It came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife. Look what he said to Sarah. Let's go back and read what he said to Sarah. And it came to pass when he was close to entering into Egypt that he said to Sarah's wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, that I may be well with you, for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Look what he placed. This guy was playing Jeopardy. He was playing Russian roulette. He was saying, I'm gambling here. My God, if only he stayed home in Canaan, he would have never been in this predicament. Can I get amen? So saints, fearing what could happen in Egypt, Abraham was willing to give up his wife to preserve his own life. Even though God had promised to protect him and his whole family. Look at this, saints. When we forget the unconditional promises of God, we begin to fear man. Did you catch that? We start to fear man. And we are not to fear man. The only entity we are to fear is the Lord God Almighty, who created us, who spoke us into existence, who nurtured us from birth. Did you know you're here today because he's been nurturing you since you were conceived in your mother's womb? He made sure that you didn't die. He made sure that a plague like COVID-19 didn't come upon you and kill you. Many of us who used to run the streets, running gangs and all these things, he kept us. Bullets flying all over the place, running from knives, running from drug dealers, almost dying from overdosing. God still, hallelujah, in our sin, still kept us alive to do his perfect will. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, God. So since the Lord had given Abraham grand and far-reaching promises without any exceptions or qualifications, he didn't have to qualify. It was his grace that said, I'm going to bless you. And through you, the nations of the world will be blessed. That was God's grace. That was God's sovereign choice. When God chooses something, that cannot be, hallelujah, reputed. Can I get an amen? Amen. It cannot be rejected. You can't amend it. God says what I've said, it'll stay, hallelujah, and it'll stay forever. You got to believe that God's promises are yes and amen. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So the Lord had given them grand and far-reaching promises without any exceptions or qualifications. But in the midst of his circumstances, Abraham became afraid, and contrary to God's will, he still went to Egypt. He still went to Egypt. I wish this scripture was there for him, but it wasn't there yet. This scripture came for us. We're reading the historic accounts of our brothers and sisters in the Old Testament, but Timothy says this. He said it best. For God has not given us a what? A spirit of fear, but a power of love and what? A sound mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let me ask this question. Do you have a sound mind right now? Are you just worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Huh? I need to ask that question. And so, saints, but now he had another reason to be fearful. He knew the Pharaoh could kill him to get to Sarah. Her beauty making her desirable and vulnerable. In the same way, saints of God, we forget God's unconditional promises in his word. His word. Are you reading his word? We'll begin to react in fear instead of faith if we don't get in God's word. Can I get an amen? Saints, when we end up where we shouldn't be, doing something we shouldn't do, feeling what we should not be feeling, and paying a price we should do not want to pay. And he was about ready to pay a dear price. But thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed that God will reach down and pull you out of the fire?
Amen.
He will pull you out of the fire. Listen, I want you to take heed, saints of God, to truly, truly just allow God to speak to you with this next verse of scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Look at this. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yes. Let's read that together. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Look at this. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has what? Sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, but some of your guarantees have expired if you take your things back to Walmart. They've expired after 30, 60, 90 days. Hallelujah. But this says right here, because of the Holy Ghost that was birthed in our being. Hallelujah. God said, why do you fear? For I have sealed you as a guarantee. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed to be a child of God? How many are so blessed, hallelujah, to walk around with God's anointing, his presence, hallelujah. Walking around with power. Power not for you to boast. Power to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Power to speak into someone's life and watch them be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Power to lay hands on those that are blind, that cannot see. Those who are lame and cannot walk and talk. Those that are mute. God has given us power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to walk in that power, Holy Ghost power, in the days that we live in. Thank you, God. So now, when we stop trusting God and start fearing circumstances, we're willing to cause others pain and great harm in order to protect ourselves. So in other words, you know what? I'm going to put you in front of that bullet.
Oh, he got you.
And then you can run. That's what we do. Instead of saying, God, you be my helper. Oh, God, you be the supplier. Oh, God, you be my strength. Oh, God, you be my healer. Hallelujah. Saints, Abraham's plan kept the Egyptians from killing him, but it cost him his wife. Look at this. Look at this in Genesis. He treated Abraham well for his sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. Saints, although none of this was God's will, he was faithful to Abraham. Let me just say this. God is faithful to you.
Hallelujah.
Did you know he's faithful to you?
Hallelujah.
That's right. Even when we do the dumbest things in life, he is still faithful. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Even as believers, we're going to make a mistake. Some of us have made many mistakes. And yet, God is still faithful. He is still faithful. He is faithful to Abraham despite the disobedience. And look what he did. Look what God did. In order to get his wife out of there, he had to strike Pharaoh with a plague. That one wasn't COVID-19. It was COVID-18. He struck him with a plague. Oh, yeah. Where does it say that, Pastor? Right up here. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Let me just say this. I don't care what you're dealing with right now. For some of you, maybe your wife or your husband has left you. Maybe your children has left you. Maybe some of you are caught up in an adulterous affair. Maybe some of you are caught up in pornography. Maybe some of you are still snorting the lines and doing this and that. I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, that God is faithful and he will leave the 99 to go get you. And he will raise you up again. Hallelujah. You got to believe God. You got to believe God. See, the devil right now, he's roaring like a lion. And if he can destroy the family, he has the church. So he wants to divide the family. He wants to rip it apart. Because once the family's ripped apart, they won't come back to the house of worship. They would have thought that God had failed them.
All right now.
Hallelujah. But that's a lie from the pit.
That's right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You got to trust God that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. You got to believe God can go down into the guttermost, into the uttermost, and to save and to sanctify, to restore, to reconcile. God wants to reconcile you back to him, but he wants to reconcile you back to one another.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. God loves you.
Yes.
He wants to bless your life.
Yes.
Don't believe for one moment that what's taking place right now is that God wants to beat us on the head. No, this is a perfect time that we can draw closer to him.
Amen.
How many of you have just jumped on his lap and said, Abba, Father, I love you.
Love you, Lord.
When's the last time you spent time with him? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So saints, not only did Abraham's disobedience cause harm to Sarah, but also to Pharaoh and his household. She was returned. And Pharaoh and Abraham and all that belonged to him. Guess what? They gave him an escorted parade. Oh yeah, let's get these guys out of here now. Hallelujah. You don't know what kind of plague it was. It was probably a plague that maybe they didn't die, but they probably were filled with boils. You don't know. All you know is that Pharaoh said, enough is enough. Get them out of here.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Look at what it says here in Genesis 12. Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Here, take her. Take her beauty. Take her beautiful content. Take everything. Everything that I lusted and looked at, take it. I don't want it.
Amen. Amen.
Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. There's going to be a time in your life where something like that will come into your life. You got to, that's not mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. And the devil will send you someone like that, oh yes, to rob your anointing. He wants to take your anointing. Because if you could sin before God, he would have to withdraw until you get it right with him. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Jesus, help us. And so he says, take her away. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Praise God. Hallelujah. God came and saved his bacon. So saints, the Lord had intervened to preserve Sarah. Why? Why was Sarah so important to God? Because it was through their lineage the Messiah would come. And so whenever, hallelujah, the plan that God has for you, nothing shall alter it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Nothing shall come and try to trip it up. Hallelujah. God will destroy the enemies before you so that his perfect will be done. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You got to believe that. You got to believe that. Hallelujah. And so he was reminded, I'm sure, as he was journeying back to the land of Canaan, where God said, this is the land I have given you for this day. I bet there was a recall in his mind right up here. And I will bless those who bless you. And those who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Saints of God, Abraham's story teaches us that God always keeps his promises and warns us not to let fear cause us to lose our trust in him and step out of his good will and his perfect. Did you know his work, his will is perfect? Now, I went before the Lord, and I have a similar story to this. I never shared it with my wife, and she's here. But this is before we got married. And so give me another few minutes, saints of God, those of you that are listening on Facebook and my precious, amazing Grace family. I got saved in 1989, but around 1994, I was going to many times I had gone up to Northern California to a live gospel concert called NorCal. And there were beautiful moments. I was working in National City for Veterans Real Estate, and they had 17 agents in the office, and we had a loan officer and a broker, and there were actually two loan officers. And this one loan officer, I won't give her last name, but her name was Cindy. We would always have this little eye contact. Now, I was already divorced. I was put away by my first wife because of me, my wrongdoings. I deserved to be put away back then because I wasn't saved. But now I'm saved 5 years later. And so I invited her. Hey, because she had some knowledge of the Lord. But I had invited her if she wanted to fly with me up there to this concert. And so she goes, you know what? I think I will. So we flew to San Francisco. And then the whole time, I wasn't thinking about hopefully her getting saved. I was thinking about me. I was thinking about maybe this is the moment. Maybe she's the one for me. But God was showing me later, this was my moment of weakness. And so we got a hotel, and she got her room and my room, and we went to the concert. We spent just a little time getting to know each other. But it was a Saturday night when I was trying to scheme up the whole thing to see if we can commit that intimacy. And I get a knock on my door, and it was Cindy. And she said, "Fee, I just heard like a voice in my mind." I go, "What?" "I don't want to get intimate with you. You're one of God's kids, and I don't want to be destroyed." And I looked at her, and I caught myself. And I said, "Oh, God, thank you, Lord." Because, see, my flesh was overwhelming. It had taken over. My thoughts, like I shared earlier, my thoughts were not God's thoughts. God had to speak to this unsaved, uncircumcised Philistine woman to say, "Uh-uh, I can't do this with you. I don't want to be destroyed. You are one of God's kids." I gave her a hug, and I said, "Thank you." That following Sunday morning, we went to the church that had the gospel concert. We got on our plane, and we flew home, and nothing was ever done of that other than God came to save my bacon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we serve a mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And there are times when you don't even want to be kept, and he will keep you.
Thank you.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
There are times when you say, "Oh, God, I just need this and I need that." And God will come in and intervene on your behalf. Hallelujah. And separate you from that evil thing. My goodness.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. So, saints, as I close, I have a couple of questions that I need to ponder. Number one, have you ever stopped obeying a clear command of God because of fear? Huh? Has it ever dawned upon you that God spoke and yet you're resisting his voice? You're resisting his word. Number two, what was that situation? I just shared a deep secret that I've kept even from Yolanda. And we weren't even married, though, so I didn't even know her. But yet, it was during my saved life. It was a moment of weakness. But God said, "Speak this now. It's time. You could release it now to help somebody." Hallelujah. To help somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we can shame the devil. Because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And then number three, what happened as a result? Now, number four. Now, think about a time when you obeyed the Lord, even though it was difficult. That was difficult. I conjured up all kinds of things. I was just painting a picture in my mind, and it all came to a crash. But that was good for me. God kept me. Hallelujah. 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 And number five, as we close with number five, how did he prove himself faithful to you? I could be here all day sharing times how he saved my bacon. Hallelujah. He loves you, saints of God. Saints of God, I just want you to truly trust the Lord in the times that we live in right now. He has never left you. He will never forsake you. He is with you. But these are the times to trust him. Don't be mad if you don't see a stimulus check in 3-4 months. Don't even look for that. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And when the cupboards are bare, look again and see that they will be restocked by the grace of God. You need to believe that God will keep you sound and safe. He'll keep your mind all together. He will keep your life intact to do his perfect will for your life.
Hallelujah.
You got to believe God. How many believe God this morning? Come on. How many believe God? How many believe God? Listen, you may be listening for the very first time. You may have been my Facebook friend for a long time, and you just, I guess I can't go play baseball this morning or go play basketball or go shoot golf. I got to stay confined in my house. And so maybe you just logged on to listen to this message. I'm here to let you know, my friend, God loves you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to save you from a place called hell. There's two places that the Bible talks that are certain. Heaven and hell. There's no in between. There is no purgatory. And if you choose to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, he will save you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His spirit will come upon you. He will transform your mind. He'll give you a new hope. He'll give you a mind to be saved, the heart of repentance. He will draw you, hallelujah, to the cross. And you will see Jesus. And then you will establish a relationship with him. And then you'll learn to love him. You see, Jesus says, I have come to set the captives free. What is he freeing us from? From our sin. See, ask yourself this. I'm talking of those right now that have never been saved, never given the heart to Jesus. Here's the litmus test. Do you wake up in the morning on your knees and say, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. And then you spend maybe 5 minutes of devotional time reading the word. You know why? Because we're an unsaved person is bound in sin. So when he comes to set us free, the shackles that hold us back from praising him and worshiping him, now he sets us free to glorify him through our mouth and to praise him. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And not only that, he gives us eternal life. We can live with him forever. So it's not about let's make a deal. This is the deal. The deal is repent. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask God to cleanse you and forgive you of your sins and say, God, I've sinned all my life. And God, now I need you. And he will save you. He will bless you. He'll give you a new life. You're praying for your wife and your children and your husband and your children, your grandchildren. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Ask God to save you and watch him save the rest of your household. Can I get an amen? Amen. But it starts with you. It starts with you. This is a personal relationship. It starts with you. So if you're listening to my voice right now, you're watching this live feed on Facebook, I want you to pray with me. Now, I need you to know that the prayer does not save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. God has given us sinful man down here on earth a tool in one of his toolboxes, and it's called prayer. And that's for us sinful people here on earth to communicate with the holy God. And so all we have to do is cry out now in a spirit of repentance. Meaning we were all walking the course of this world. All repentance means is we make an about face and we turn to Jesus now. And you let the world behind you go. And now you walk toward him. And if that's you right now, pray this prayer. We're all going to pray it with you. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned. And I need you, God. As my Savior. Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let the house, hallelujah, shout and praise and say glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. My friends, I am so blessed to have come into your homes this morning. to bring you another word of hope, a word of God through the scriptures. And I'm pray for me that, pray for your church that next week we'll have a nicer camera and we can go live even on YouTube and just taking us to another level. And maybe we can have music in the background, the whole works, just like how the larger churches do. And, you know, a lot of the smaller churches never thought of anything like that. But now we are confined to our homes. So now it's time to step up with the technology and to reach the world. We need to reach the world. Can I get an amen? And so I just want to thank and praise God for Evangelist Felipe Reles, who's here, and for Bishop Yehoshua Mandapali, who has come to be a part of our morning worship and praise. My precious wife, Yolanda, who spoke earlier today. Continue to pray for us that God will keep us sound and safe. We're praying for you, for your families, for your children, your grandchildren, and all that surround, that pertain to your life. We love you, and God truly loves you. And so until we meet again, we will be live Wednesday night at 7 p.m. right here from our living room. May God bless you, and may God keep you, and may his countenance be upon you. We love you, and we give God all the praise, glory, and honor. God bless you. We'll see you again. The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.